Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
As we continue our journeys through the Holy Land on this Covenant Journey Bible podcast, we now come to the place of the skull, Golgotha. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. We began our journey where Jesus walked through many parts of Capernaum, Nazareth, where he grew up, his birth. We've now come to the very last moments of his earthly life before his resurrection. And we are now at the point of going to the cross. So after Jesus was brought from the high priest Caiaphas's house to the governor Pontius Pilate, who was over Judea, and at that point in time, he delivered Jesus over to be executed by this horrible death of crucifixion and released instead the criminal Barabbas. The criminal was set free. The innocent man was sent to his death, Jesus, to die on our behalf. Now we're in the book of Matthew, chapter 27 and verse 45. And it speaks about, before we even get there, that point of time where Jesus died. But before we even get there, he moves literally from the praetorium to the cross. Verse 32, they went out, and they're going out of the praetorium at the time after he was condemned by Pilate. And they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and they kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads, saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Sounds like what Jesus was tempted in a different way by Satan in the wilderness. If you are the Son of God, then turn these rocks, these stones, into bread. Here, if you are the Son of God, then come down from the cross. So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of the Jews. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him." Of course, they would not believe, even if he came down, because they didn't believe all the other miracles. They go on to say, "He trusts in God, but let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way." Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the face of the land until the ninth hour. The sixth hour is going to be noon. The ninth hour is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, gave it to him, and drank to drink. But the other said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were also opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There was also many women looking on from a distance who had followed him, Jesus from Galilee, followed Jesus, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Jesus took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his new tomb, which had been cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Now, we'll pick up with the resurrection on another Covenant Journey Bible podcast. But the other Gospels also add some additional detail. The other Gospels add details such as Jesus is on the cross, and not only does he say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I'll come back to that in a moment. But it also says that he was stabbed in the side when they came to break the legs of the others. They wanted to make sure that they were dead. They stabbed Jesus in the side with a spear that went either under or through his rib cage up toward his heart, and blood and water poured out. And they obviously knew he was dead, and consequently they did not need to break his legs. The crucifixion is a horrible death. It is the worst death that you can imagine, and it is the worst death that the Romans could mete out to anybody. It was designed to terrorize people, and so when they lifted you up on a cross, they put you in a place where there was a lot of traffic. People could see you so that they would not only see you, but they would be terrified by you. And thus, that's why when these people walked by, they mocked those people who were there, because these were, in their view, despicable people. These were criminals. This was used for either political opponents or criminals. And Jesus was there as an innocent person, of course, giving his life for you and me. He could have come down from the cross with a moment of just willing it, but he did not. He saved others, he could not save himself. That really is pretty true, because if he did save himself, you and I would not be alive. You and I would not have salvation. We would not have eternal hope. We would not have eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ if he saved himself only. Jesus is speaking in Aramaic on the cross, and thus Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani is Aramaic. He is quoting from the book of Psalms when he says that. He is so distraught at this point. His stress began in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was overwhelmed by the pressure of the darkness of sin coming upon him as he was bearing the sins of all the world, such that he sweat great drops like blood. That happens on a very rare occasion when somebody is under extreme, extreme stress, where your capillaries break and the blood comes through your pores, and it looks like you're sweating blood. And so Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane had blood dripping down his face, not because anybody touched him, but because of the incredible burden that he was carrying of sin as he was making his way to the cross. Now when Jesus is here at the cross and he is crucified, they flagellate them with these whips. These whips have objects that are sharp, or stones at the end of them that rip the flesh and even can break bones on occasion, but they definitely decimate your flesh. Many people never made it to the cross because the flagellation, the whipping with these objects on the end of the whip, would literally rip your skin apart. And in some cases, there are reports of the internal organs falling out of the person because they are so brutally beaten. Jesus is brutally, brutally beaten by these whips. As a result, he lost a lot of blood. Consequently, that's why he was weak. And when in another one of the Gospels, he did begin to carry the cross, but he fell down, and then they brought in this Simon from Cyrene to continue carrying the cross the rest of the journey to Calvary, to Golgotha, because he was losing so much blood from the beating that he had experienced. And he lost so much blood that when you start to lose this blood, you begin to try to breathe more. And on the cross, the problem with breathing is that even your breath is painful, because as you're pushing, as you're hanging there, your lungs become very heavy, and you have to push your body upward to get one breath, and then exhale and push your body upward again to get the next breath. But every time you do that, you're ripping flesh in your feet, in your ankles, where these nails are through your bones and affixed to the wood. And it is excruciatingly painful for each death. So crucifixion oftentimes happens by either loss of blood in terms of the mechanism of death or suffocation. In the case where Jesus was punctured with the spear and blood and water comes out, that is actually a medical sign that Jesus had incredible stress around his heart, and the fluid began to build up around the heart. The water that came out was the buildup of fluid around the heart, and the blood obviously is the blood that's coming from his body. That's why it says it was mixed with blood and water. It is a sign of incredible stress, and there's medical terminology that describes that kind of buildup of fluid around the heart as it is struggling to get oxygen. And as it's struggling to pump blood when you have a lack of blood, and therefore you're becoming oxygen deprived. Jesus ultimately comes to the point. It's hard to imagine this. This is the Son of God who's fully divine and fully human. He was born for this moment, and he told his disciples in Caesarea Philippi that he was going to Jerusalem. And that's the first time he revealed to them he was going to suffer and die and be raised again on the third day. Now he's here at this moment, and the darkness is so much, it is so overwhelming, that he literally cries out to God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt that separation that sin brings between us and God. And he became that sin offering for us, yet he was without sin. And he says, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he dies. He exhales and he ends that earthly life on that side of the resurrection. You cannot imagine the hope that was dashed by these people who were watching him. His mother, Mary, was there. Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. And the disciples were no doubt somewhere probably nearby. Maybe they weren't even in the vicinity. They're not mentioned at all in this scene. They are probably scared and they don't want anything to do with it. They understand what crucifixion is like. They've seen it happen before. And they didn't want to be up on that cross with him, but Mary, his mother, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee, they were there. These were followers that ministered to Jesus, and I can't even begin to imagine their heartbreak as they're sobbing as Jesus is brutally beaten, and he dies before their very eyes. And for them, it's all over. And Joseph comes forth, and he is a man from Arimathea, and he wants to give Jesus a proper burial. So he is able to get the body, and he puts it in a brand new tomb in which no one had ever been laid before. And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they were sitting there opposite the tomb, and they watch his body wrapped up and placed in the tomb with a large stone rolled in front of it. Oh my, what an experience they must have had at that time. I don't know what that evening would be like where they could not sleep. And they couldn't go there the next day because that was Shabbat. They had to wait for an entire day until early in the morning on resurrection morning, and we're going to come to that. And they came there to finish the anointing. They couldn't finish it then because sundown was coming and Sabbath, Shabbat was there overtaking them. Oh my goodness, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, their hopes were crushed. It's over. You're really questioning all the things that Jesus said. You're processing everything. And you thought it was going to be different. In fact, you still had these ideas that Jesus was going to be the conquering king and he was going to literally come down from the cross. But he didn't. And then he says to God, "Why have you forsaken me?" To the Father. And of course, in Deuteronomy, everyone knows anyone who's hung on a tree, as Deuteronomy says, that person is cursed by God. So they knew that he was being cursed. He was being cursed for sin. They didn't understand everything. But their whole world was turned upside down. And they have to wait. It's easy for us to jump over this. I encourage you to go through this passage. Go through all the gospel passages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look at the sequence, look at the discussion of Jesus in his last moments on the cross, and put yourself in those people's shoes. And how would you feel? What would you do? And all that you believed seemed to just dissipate before your eyes. There may be times when you come to this situation in your life where you question whether there is God, whether God is going to listen to you. Is he going to hear your prayer? And whether or not you're saved or not, you have these questions about your salvation. There are times of darkness, times of questioning that we have in our life. But you know what we easily do is just read through this and we jump over to Easter morning and we don't spend time thinking about what these people went through. And you know what? There is an Easter coming. There is that morning where the tomb is empty, that he is not here. He indeed has risen. That happens. We see that. We are living on that side of the resurrection, and thank God for that. No matter what you face, God's always going to be with you. No matter the difficulty that you encounter, remember the doubts that you might have, the questions that you might experience, that the Lord gave his life for you, and he loves you intimately, and he knows everything about you, and he's there ready, always walking with, beside, and for you. He is your advocate. He took your place, and with him we have eternal life in our Lord Jesus Christ. I encourage you to read the scriptures, read his word, and press into him and live these last moments of the life of Jesus. We will soon come to that glorious morning where that tomb is indeed empty. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.